Abby's going to read now from Matthew 6, 5 to 15.
Matthew 6, 5 to 15, the model prayer. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Amen.
Now then, the Lord's Prayer is something that we say pretty regular. Something we know pretty well. But I just want to go through it and just to make sure that we understand what it is actually saying. The only problem I have is that this could go on for months. You could go expounding this. There's so much to say. But I've got to shrink it down into about half an hour. So if there's things that I don't include, just understand I've had to cut it down a bit. So the Lord's Prayer, or, as the title in my Bible says, the Model Prayer. So today, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. Hopefully, I will help you look at it a bit more deeply. And in a different light. I feel that prayer is one of the things in Christianity that is not taught well enough. It's as if we are expected to just know how to pray. When in reality, the opposite is quite often the case. I was just told, talk to the Father like you would talk to your own father, which is good advice. But even the apostles, who were Jews, didn't really know how to talk to the Father properly. Just before this, they had found Jesus praying and talking to his Father. And they were amazed at the way he was speaking to his Father. So this is the reply that Jesus came with. But it's looking at this, it's an example to follow. Don't get me wrong, it's perfectly all right saying the words themselves, but it's an example by which Jesus has set out how we should pray. I must admit, sometimes when I'm, I'm sure you don't have this problem, but sometimes you just can't focus your mind, can you? You come in prayer and your mind's going off doing something else. But I find, for me personally, saying the Lord's Prayer just helps me focus a bit. It helps me just, concentrate on what I'm supposed to be doing. So, we'll start at verse 5. And when you pray, You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have had their reward. This is a real warning to anyone who prays to impress others. Okay? Jesus is calling them hypocrites. Quite a strong word, but that's what he means. So anything that raises you up, anything that makes you feel good, and it's for your own purposes, could be called hypocritical. The thing is, if you're trying to impress God with it, you're wasting your time. Things that are that impress God, and so we can store our treasures up in heaven, they're done in the quiet. They're done in secret. Now, if you're looking for praise from people, if you get praise from people, you've got your reward. You don't get another one. You've got the reward that you're seeking. So just be careful when you're praising people. There's a difference between encouraging them and praising them. Because the problem is, some people can handle the praise and they're humble. It doesn't matter. But some people can't, and it can get hold of them, and they enjoy the praise more, and that takes over. I'm not saying all these big preachers that you see on the God Channel are a bit like that, but sometimes you do wonder, don't you? It seems to be more about them than God. So verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So one of the reasons that you're praying in private, in the quiet, is because you're not seeking the praise of men. It's between you and God, and that's it. He sees that your prayers are coming from your heart and not from your head. So when it says your Father will reward you openly, that's when he answers your prayers. We all know he answers prayers. We all know that sometimes no can be an answer. But he does answer our prayers. But that is the reward for praying. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. I'm sure you have all heard people go on and on and on when they're praying. I'll hold my hand up. I go, oh, I wish they'd shut up. Because after so long, it does get to you. But the more words don't get better results. That's the thing. Fine words don't impress God like it does man. And the problem with repetition is that it can lose its meaning. It becomes like a head prayer rather than a heart prayer. I've already mentioned the long prayers. Short prayers and from the heart. That is what they should be. Verse 8 says this, therefore do not be like them. Our Father already knows what you need before you ask. So you don't need to go around the houses, you know, with all these fancy words. Get to the point. A previous pastor used to sometimes say bullet prayers. And what he meant by that was get to the point. Target your prayers on what you want them to be. But of course, that brings up the question, why pray when God already knows what you need? It's a good question, isn't it? If he knows what you need, why do you need to ask for it? One place. Now, there is a classic illustration for this. Bill's just gone out, hasn't he, so he won't hear this. But a famous violinist, a musician, right? He has a daughter who plays the violin as well. She learned the violin, but from another teacher. One who would be classed as maybe a second-rate musician, not a top class, who her father was. When asked why he didn't teach his own daughter, why was she going to a poorer teacher? He replied, there is nothing I would like more than to teach her. But I must wait until she asks me. In other words, there are things he can't give her until she's ready and she comes and asks. And God is waiting to give us stuff. We need to ask for them. Of course, sometimes we ask when we're ready to receive. But God's there waiting to give. But if we don't ask, he won't give. Because he's waiting for you to ask. He knows what you need. That's the thing. So don't be afraid to ask. Now, apparently, it's, what was it, Abiol? International Day of All Religions today. Now, the thing is, all religions pray. You will find, no matter what religion they are, they will pray. So prayer is not unique to Christianity. But the difference is what we say. And that is what makes you a Christian. So in verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray. So notice, in this manner. Jesus is not saying use these words as a copy. But in this manner. He's giving us a template to follow. An example. A guide as to how our prayers should be put together. Don't get me wrong, as I've already mentioned, there's nothing wrong in actually saying the Lord's Prayer. It is probably the best prayer you will ever say. But this prayer is in response to a question that was asked by the disciples. Teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray. They knew how to pray. But teach us to pray. There's a difference. They just heard Jesus talking to his Father and wanted to learn how to communicate with the Father as Jesus did. As I already mentioned, prayer seems to be undertaught in Christianity. I don't know why. It's something which we just left to get on with. But Jesus is saying, use this prayer as a guide for your own prayers. But prayer needs both fervour and form. No prayer is wasted if it has fervour. It comes from the heart. Now let me just make six little points about this prayer. First, it's a brief prayer. You noticed? It takes about 30 seconds to say. But in that 30 seconds, it says so much. Second, it's a simple prayer. Straightforward, and a prayer for everyone. Don't matter what age you are, young, old, don't matter what country you live in, you can say it. It's a profound prayer. You could think about this for the rest of your life. You can study it for the rest of your life, and I don't think you'd fully grasp all the ins and outs of it. It's a comprehensive prayer. It covers everything. You study these six petitions, and every one of them, in principle, covers a whole field of need. The fifth, it's a universal prayer. No matter where you go in the world, you get with Christians and they will know this prayer. And sixth, it is the most challenging prayer that you will ever pray. It could be said of it that it is not so much a prayer but a way of life. If applied to your life, it will produce a reverent, active, submissive, dependent, forgiving, careful Christian. So let's look at the prayer itself now then. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts with who you're addressing it to and where he is. Think about it. If you just start praying and don't mention who you're praying to, in theory, I'm sure he makes allowances for us, but in theory, that prayer could go anywhere. You wouldn't send a letter without putting who it's to and where they live on, would you? So in the same principle, that's what Jesus is saying. Address the prayer to the Father and where he is. But it's also recognising who he is. And it also reminds us that God is in charge. There's a story of a little girl travelling on a train on her own. She was asked, "Are you not afraid to be travelling alone?" "Of course not," she says. "My daddy is driving the train." But this is the feeling we should have. Because aren't you afraid of the universe? Aren't you afraid of nuclear war? Aren't you afraid of mankind? Aren't you afraid of the future? Aren't you afraid of death? But the answer should be no. Because, of course, my Father is directing the universe. And when I say my Father, I mean your Father as well. Our Father. Now, I've just said something there, which later on I'll go to say don't say. But notice our, as I'm about to say. Bearing in mind this prayer was given for private use, he uses our and give us. Okay? So when you pray our or give us, you're including others in your prayer. And it's not a selfish prayer. You're including all God's children. And that's what he's doing here. That's what he's saying. You know, if you're just praying for yourself, you're praying for yourself. But if you pray for others, if you pray for, you know, give us something, you do include others in that prayer. And they can be blessed through it. Hallowed be that be your name. This statement cannot hold any meaning till you have had the revelation of who God is. It's a statement of reverence. You know that his name is holy and that his name is Yahweh. Some say Jehovah, but I'm led to believe that the correct pronunciation is Yahweh, meaning I am what I am. To be able to hallow his name, three things are necessary. First, you've got to believe that he exists. You've got to understand the knowledge of his character. And you've got to feel a sense of his presence. So verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Problem in English is that kingdom can mean various things. But in the Middle East, the predominant meaning is one of power. So in verse 10, what you could say is, your power come, the power of God come. And the power of God did come. It came today on down to earth on the day of Pentecost, in the form of the Holy Spirit that come to live within us. But of course, Jesus shall reign over that kingdom forever and ever. And we are living in the kingdom now. The power of God lives within us. God making all things work together for good because we love him. Because of that, his will be done in our lives. Of course, one day the kingdom of God will actually come back on the earth in a physical form when Jesus returns. The word will. It has two meanings in the original, or so I'm told. And one is to make a decree. Now, if you know anything about history, when a king or something made a decree, it happened. That was it. So if we take the first meaning, that would mean that God, when he says something will happen in your life, it will happen. You've no choice about it, and that's a decree. But as we know, God doesn't work that way. He's given us free will to choose. So the second meaning is, the English translation, the nearest we can get really, is wish. And that's a wishy-washy word, isn't it? It doesn't really sum up. It's a desire, a wish, but it doesn't, it's a weak word to use for the meaning. Now, the thing is, we could, I've met people, Muslims in particular, think this way, that God's will in your life, so anything happens, that's God's will. And you can end up as what a word called fatalism. In that you just, anything that happens to you has come from God and you've got to accept it. But just be careful of that, because he gives us free will to choose for ourselves. But God desires, maybe that's a better word, maybe sums it up a bit better, that we choose his way, not our own. Being obedient to God will bring about his will, your will be done in your lives. And of course, on earth as it is in heaven, is that it works the same way. And as Christians, coming into his kingdom, that is what we're aiming for, aren't we? We want to be Christ-like. We want to be like Christ. And that is the way it works in heaven. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our debts. The other word that they use is trespasses. But I think debts, for me personally, says it better. But of course, the question is, if we are forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross, do we need to ask for daily forgiveness? Remember in the upper room where Jesus wanted to wash Peter's feet? Peter said no. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, we can't be friends. He literally said, we can't be friends. Then Peter said, wash me all over, please. Jesus gently told him that he didn't need washing all over now. He had been washed already. But there was the dirt he had picked up on his feet as he walked about. So every day we pick up dirt from the world that we live in. It needs to be washed off. So forgive us our debts is just that asking for what God wants for us to do for us. As we forgive our debtors, now this is a difficult one. I'm sure all of us have been in a position where someone has hurt us, someone has done something to us, and we struggle to forgive. It's probably one of the hardest things you will ever be asked to do. But, as God says, if you can't forgive others, he can't forgive you. Harsh saying, but that's what he says. Goes on to say it further down. So you've got to think about it. That could stop you having a relationship with God. Is it really worth it? Is unforgiveness, it eats away within you and it could pull you away from God. Is it really worth losing your salvation over? Over someone from the past. It's hard, but Jesus is waiting for you to ask for help. Remember? Ask for help. That's what he's there for. Keep asking for help, and it will come, and forgiveness will be achieved, and salvation will be saved. 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. I like to put one in there. I think in the original it does have one. We've got to remember that God never tempts anyone. Temptation comes from somewhere else, from the world, from our old self, and of course the devil. God can put us to the test. That's a different thing. Because from a test, we will grow stronger. As we go through our daily lives, the things encroach on us. And temptation can lead us away. Or give us the strength to cope and come through them. But each day we can have the confidence that God strengthens us and keeps us safe. Pray for inner strength that you can face up to these things when they come. You can't avoid them, but you can have the strength to deal with them. For yours is the kingdom, verse 14, the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's quite harsh, that, isn't it? It's black and white. There's no, you know, grey areas. It says it there. But the only way you will forgive others is by asking Jesus to help you. So in conclusion, The Lord's Prayer, as we call it, was given so that we can have a model to follow when we pray. The first part of our prayer should be for God, saying who he is and where he is, thanking him for what he has done for us. Notice in that first in the first section that the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is the Son. And the Holy Spirit's there as well. This prayer is split into three. It's first for God and then for us. But in each section, if you look carefully, you can see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there. So the second part is for us. Try to remember to use our and give us. So that's including other people in your prayers, and it just helps you get away from sometimes that selfish prayer. As Christians, we should put others first. I wonder sometimes when people say God doesn't answer prayer, I just wonder, is it that we're not asking properly? You know, try following this pattern when you pray. See if it makes a difference. Thank you.